Good morning. How are you, church? So many new faces here. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Pete Rizzuto, and I was the youth or student or everyone under the age of 18 worker here for what seems like an eternity, but only a few, three short years. And I am now a missionary in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. If you don't know where that is, Saudi Arabia is the nearest place, or Dubai, if you know where Dubai is on a map. That's where I serve. I recently just got married this summer to a wonderful, beautiful lady named Mackenzie who's over here. She's a teacher there. And so we are excited. We are heading back on Thursday for another year of ministry and work amongst Arab Muslims and amongst expatriate children from all over the world. And it's our privilege to serve Jesus there. And I've been privileged to come back here and have the support of you, the church here in Plainfield. And I'm just so honored to be able to bring you the word this morning. So here's how it's going to kind of go, just so you kind of can relax. You know, whenever there's some guy you don't know up here, you kind of get all tense, you know. But I'll just let you know what will happen. Everyone loves a story, so I'm going to tell you a few stories this morning. I'm going to share from God's word. We're going to do that together. And then I just want you to digest all of that and come talk to us afterwards or talk to some of our friends who do know us, and we'll be happy to tell you all about what we do overseas in Abu Dhabi. So let's read the Word of God together. It'll be on your screen. It's the book of Malachi, chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 7. I think we're going to start at verse 17. It'll be on the screens, also the Bible in front of you. So I will read this. Please listen and let it come to your heart this morning. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By saying everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Lots of words there. Don't get lost on us. We're going to take that apart in a minute. And here's where it gets really good. This is what I love here. Behold, who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. I'd like to meet this Fuller man. I've never met him, but I've only been to his car wash, for those of you that know where Fuller's car wash is. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow, the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Amen. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we discuss your word and we hear of the wonderful refining work you're doing around the world, not just here in Plainfield, but all over, we pray that what we hear, what we see, and what we do every single day will be honoring to you, and that we will see just your refining work, not only in our lives, but in the lives of everyone we encounter every day. And may we see that you are a God that doesn't change, and that you are a God who loves to make us pure, holy, and draw people back to you, because that's what you desire. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I will tell you a story, if that's okay, about my life. Many of you do not know this story. Some of you do. Teenagers, please don't laugh. Okay, thank you. You can, it's okay. I met my wife about a year ago, and then we began a relationship this year, and then obviously we just were married this summer. But there came a time where I knew I had to marry her. I was just, the Lord was saying, you know, this is the woman for you. She is wonderful. She loves me. And you two will have a life serving me together. And men, I don't know if you know that feeling, but then it becomes a time to go jewelry shopping. My wife has very unique tastes. I'm sure many of you husbands have wives who have unique tastes. So she hinted at me what she would like for a type of jewelry. But rather than me going on my own, or rather than me trying to figure this out myself, I had the great idea of saying, why don't you come with me and just point at it, and then we'll be okay. Now, for those of you that know me, and for those of you that don't, I'll give you a little hint. I've never been one to be like, yay, I can't wait to get married. So this was quite the overwhelming experience for someone like myself. So in Abu Dhabi, we go to one shopping mall where there's about 5 or 6 jewelry stores, and I start to hyperventilate uncontrollably. Okay, I don't know if you understand. Like, head between legs, could not stand it. My wife will tell you the real story, which I'm kind of making myself look even better. But I could not believe that I was entering into this phase of life, and the feeling was overwhelming to the point where I had to walk out and leave and do some like circles around outside because I didn't know what was going on. But what I realized when I went home that evening, as I was sitting on my sofa just going, Pete, you made a fool of yourself, now you have to start this all over again, was that the Lord was refining me from a long time of just not having this on my radar or even avoiding something like a marriage. And so I don't want to say that the Lord used a public humiliation episode to refine me, but it was a really big stretch for me. And so I thank God that he brought me through that to the point where I am here. And I thank God that he provided me with a wife who supported me through that. But it was a really tough little time for me. But as I started praying and as I started thinking, God, what are you doing here? Why is this sudden life change here? He was refining me and making me a pure person, preparing me to marry my wife. And that's kind of what God does everywhere. He's in the business of refining things, of making things pure, making things holy. Not just in my life, but in your life, and in the lives of everyone who chooses to believe in him. Believing in Jesus is not an easy task, but believing and following Jesus does require some difficulties. It does require a process where God has a glorious standard that we fall short of daily, and he requires and wants us to be as pure and as holy as we can be in his presence, because to come into God's presence, you have to be pure, you have to be holy. And for many of us, that's difficult, but God works that out in us in a continual way every single day. And we read here in the scripture, that's exactly what he's doing. And so I just want to walk through this with you, and then I'm going to tell you some stories about what God is doing all over the world and how he's refining things. But he sets it up this way. The prophet Malachi sets it up this way. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if you're a grammar person. I'm a grammar person. But it says, I, and we say that's God the Father, send my messenger. Okay, we'll see who that is in a minute. Prepare the way before me. So the me and the I is God the Father. The messenger, which we will learn later in the New Testament, it would be called John the Baptist, who's saying, hey, prepare the way of the Lord. And then it says this, and the Lord, capital L, and this is a term that a prophet would not use for someone like John the Baptist or someone else of a human nature. He would use it for describing the coming Messiah or God himself. And so we argue and we make the assumption that the Lord here is the coming of Christ, the coming of Jesus. And so that establishes our foundation for what he says next. And he says this in chapter 3, verse 2, for he, which is referring to Jesus, is like a refiner's fire. He will sit and refine and purify, be a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. So God is in this business of purifying things and making them pure. And I love that it says he will. So for those of you that ever have thought that you're too far removed from God or that there's so much damage done in your life that God cannot save you from that, that's his business. He's a purifier and a refiner, and that's what Jesus came to do and came to bring to all of us. And I love here how if each one of us has an understanding in our lives about sin, we all have to understand that we all are broken people, and we all have sinned, But a lot of us have this assumption that sin makes us bad people, and that's not really the truth. Pastor Louis Giglio always says this, and I love it, and I think it's true. Sin does not make you bad. It makes you dead. So really, we're dead, and we need life. We need to go from death to life. We need to be purified, take the death out, and put life in. And I love that in the text today, God is he's refining. He's a refiner's fire. That's what Jesus does. And how do we know that we're not far removed from that and that he will refine people and that we can always enter into God's presence? We can always come to Jesus and he will refine us and make us pure. And that's a lifelong process. How do we know that that's what he will do? And we see it here because for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, children of Jacob, are not consumed. The fire will not consume us. He's not a consuming fire in the fact that he will destroy. He is a purifier. And so that implies there's some heat put on. There's some trials that you face. And all of us can agree that we face trials, tribulations, and difficulties. But in those, our attitude should be, Lord, how are you refining me? How are you making me pure? How are you making me more like you? How are you drawing me towards yourself? And it's very simple. That's his business. That's what he does. And so we can support this with this verse here, which is one of my favorites in the Bible. Now, for a little while, you may have to suffer various trials so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable, is tested by fire, resound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So these trials are there, and I don't need to tell you this. This is stuff I see many of you doing this, and I understand. But we need to be reminded that the trials are real, but the refining process cannot happen without it. You cannot get pure gold without the fire. And I'm just going to say a few things that God's doing that here in Christ Community Church in Plainfield, and I'm so honored that I can be part of your family here at church and see what God's doing in all of your lives. But he's also called us to take this refining message to the world. And so while I'm so excited to hear about people coming to know Jesus here, people becoming pure here, people journeying in faith together here at Christ Community Church, doing awesome things for the glory of God, God's also doing great things through you overseas, through what we do in Abu Dhabi. And God is on a process. Many of you understand that you were once impure, you were once very, very far away from God, and that you entered into a relationship with Jesus, and then it started the purification process. The fire came, and the trials came, and some of you might be in the middle of that right now, and you're thinking, what did I get myself into? Many of you have come through that, and your duty and your job is to encourage those who are still in the fire and still being made pure in Jesus' presence. And that's what a church does, and that's why this place is so awesome, because you do that very well. You come alongside those who are hurt, who are in need, who need to hear the message of Jesus, and who will be made pure. And that's what a church does. And I'm thankful that you've chosen to partner with me overseas to do that over there. So God's doing that here, and I'm so excited, but God's doing it overseas in Abu Dhabi as well. And I'm just going to share with you a few stories of some of my new friends and people who you have directly blessed through your prayers. I know many of you pray for me and our work there, and my wife's work. I know, and I thank you. And that's the reason we can sustain ourselves. Many of you are supporters of me financially, and I so am thankful for that. You as a church have come alongside me financially. Thank you. And I want you to hear me this morning. This is God's process of refining his children, making them pure so that they can go and make others aware of the gospel message. And that's what we're doing in a Muslim country overseas. And so bear with me as I just do some terms with you. I never always notice how much lingo people use without the proper understanding. And so I'm just going to clear up a couple terms. And so if I say those, you'll kind of be like, okay, I understand. So we live in the United Arab Emirates. It's Middle East. It's a predominantly Muslim country. Evangelism or telling someone about Jesus is illegal, but we kind of get around it by just building relationships with someone and saying, how are you? I want to be your friend. And it's miraculous how someone then says, what makes you different? And now I can tell him about Jesus because we're friends. And I think that's how we should always do evangelism. That's sidebar. Now back to the screen. Emiratis, those are the nationals of the United Arab Emirates. So those are local Arab Muslim people from specific tribes. An expat is anyone from another country living in the UAE and for work purposes. So there's many people from all over the world, India, Pakistan, Asia. We have over, I think, 17 nationalities in our young people's group alone. It's pretty cool. The Gulf are all those countries listed. And a TCK, my definition isn't that great, but it's a child who is possibly an American who has lived there their whole life, so they really don't consider themselves an American. They're kind of like Emirati, but they can't be Emirati because they're not Arab and a national, so they're in this third culture with other people in the same way, and eventually going back to their passport culture. So that's the terms, and now I want to tell you the stories. Now, these are stories that are not so glamorous, but they're real stories. And you can see how the impact of each one of these students can just spread like wildfire. And these are students whom we are very close to and we love. And the first guy's name is John. So John, he speaks three languages. And he goes to a school of over 4,000 students of all mostly Indian descent. So they're all Indian nationals from the nation of India. And so John comes up to me in church when I first got there, and he's on fire for Jesus. He says, I love Jesus. I want to figure this out. I want to understand more about who he is. And so we've come alongside him, and we work together to the point where this last year, he grabs my shoulder and pulls me over and says, Pete, I want to teach one day. I was like, wow, okay. Because we have a little church community there, a small church building where the government allows us to worship, and we have on the compound over about 70 different churches and languages meeting there that are different languages and things. But our church is predominantly small, but we have a lot of young people who are coming in from friends being invited. And John said, you know, I really want to teach one day. And I saw that as, whoa, you never let children teach. Who knows? And then I started thinking, he teaches every day to 4,000 kids in his school. How great would it be if we let him talk to these young people and then he can go out and talk to his young people in his school? Pretty cool. So John comes and he gives a great message and the young people were very excited, but we are speaking truth into his life. He's 16 years old and he is a president. He's this, like, what we would call the student council class or class president. Every kid in his class knows who he is. Every student has had conversations with him because of the way his school system's set up. So he is a believer in Jesus and has that much influence to almost, if we're honest, almost 4,000 young people in a country where you can't evangelize, in a country where the gospel is not preached. But these are all Indian national kids who will eventually go on to India or to other countries to live and to work. So the gospel goes. So he's one of our key leaders, and it's thanks to you that we were able to minister to him. We also do leader training. This is in the nation of Bahrain. Someone said a quote to me this morning about the Tree of Life, which was very interesting. I think it was Ed Talbot. This is actually the real Tree of Life, where we're standing here. It's in the nation of Bahrain. Many of you in the military know what Bahrain is. It's sand and water. That's it. But this is the leadership team with myself and McKenzie there. There's not everyone there, but what we do is we went there and we trained them. We're like, you guys are great. You have a couple churches. You see a lot of young people. And we want you to help them. We want you to serve them. We want to enable you to do more with them. And so this is what we discovered, is that there's about 11 churches represented in Bahrain that have youth workers that are all volunteers. And that touches 14 different schools in a predominantly Muslim country where evangelism is not legal. And many of you have heard about the unrest in Bahrain. And many of you, I don't need to tell you, Egypt has been in the news lately. And so this part of the world, Egypt's 2 hours by plane from us. So this is the type of environment that we work in. It's very tense. But there's people who are bringing hope to young people. And we see it as a great privilege to say, you know what, let's come alongside you leaders, because you can touch so many young people by what you're doing in your churches. And to see how these leaders are being refined in their faith and in their leadership skills and in all these other areas, it's really wonderful. So thank you, and I hope you're encouraged by that. That is a really cool thing. Now I'll brag on my wife. So my wife gets to teach in schools with every single one of those little kids about kindergarten age. They're all local children. Every one of them has a name that's Arab, and they say that they're Muslim, and they have a Muslim family. And my wife also gets to teach on the left there, the ladies in the abaya. My wife is on the right, and the left, that's her co-teacher. They teach together all day. And over the Christmas break, my wife got to actually tell them about Christmas, and they asked her, what do you do? What do you believe? And she finally got to explain to them, the teachers, all women, the gospel of Jesus. And the cool part is this. Their English is okay. So her co-teacher said, I'm pretty good at English. I'll translate this in Arabic to all the other teachers. How cool is that? And then all of these young little guys and girls, many of them never have met a Christian or know who a Christian is. And they, from a young age, will have been blessed by a woman of faith who is loving them the way Jesus is supposed to love people. And so that impact is going to go as these kids grow up and lead their country. And of course, she is a wonderful role model for young people all over Abu Dhabi. Our house, or her house, well, before now, our house, is filled with teenagers all the time, especially young girls, and building relationships and just telling them about Jesus so they can go out into their community and live their faith out. And this is just that refining process that's happening over there. It's so awesome to see what Jesus is doing. Some other people, these are some really neat friends of ours. If I can get this to work. Some really neat friends of ours. There we are. So, Pasindu and Sandy. So, I don't even need to explain this to you. On the left, her three best friends are all Muslims. And she goes to a school that's predominantly Muslim. And she's a Christian from Sri Lanka. She speaks two languages. And 2,000 people. And so, she gets to communicate the gospel in what is called Sinhalese, which is the language of Sri Lanka. And she also gets to hang out with people and tell them about it in English. And she is an on-fire girl who loves the Lord and wants to do, and is constantly, I could track her journey from when she started with us and how the Lord has refined her life to see that the gospel is prominent in her life. And that's her brother, Pasindu. He just graduated from high school, and he decided to be crazy and go to university in Malaysia. A lot of people do that there. But he's going to Malaysia, and he's a believer, and he knows the gospel, and he's going to take it there. Because he came to see us, and his family came to the church, and we decided, let's invest in you. Let's see what the Lord's going to do in your life. And now he gets to go to Malaysia on a college campus filled with people who get to hear about the gospel now from what he's going to do. And so this last one is a personal, he's kind of like my right-hand man over there. His name's Ethan. Ethan is a handful. Many of you teenagers used to make me pull my hair out. He does the same thing to me over there. But he is a full-on committed believer in Jesus Christ. He has scripture memorized in his head. He is so passionate about Jesus. He looks for every opportunity to bring someone to faith or to encourage them to come to something that we do. And he speaks five different languages, and he goes to an Islamic school. He's the only Christian in his whole school. The title of the school is Al-Islahi Indian Islamic School. He's the only Christian in this school. And he's our worship leader, and he teaches. And so he has a dream to eventually become like a Pastor Tristan. He wants to come up, and he wants to lead the church in worship, and he wants to write songs for the glory of God. But it's been such a journey from when we first started to see him grow and see him become passionate about Jesus and see God weed out the bad things in his life and put in the really good things and see that he is drawing him back to Jesus and using him for his glory. And he's done that here in Plainfield, and he's doing it through all of these students there. We went on a boat once. Once. Never again. I get these crazy ideas. Let's take 15 teenagers on a boat. I don't know who does that. But Ethan decides to bring his friend Jasmeet, who is a Muslim slash Sikh. He has a head covering on if you can't see it. Jasmeet is an everyday part of our group now, and he hangs out. Jesus is doing something in his life, and we're coming alongside him, and we're just welcoming him into our family, and he's an active part of everything that we do. So the message of Jesus is going out. And I wanted you to see some pictures and some people that are actually coming to know Jesus, practicing their faith, and making a huge impact literally halfway around the world. If you get a globe and you Abu Dhabi and you do Chicago, it's like this, halfway. All because of your prayers and your support. Thank you. But that should excite you. It's happening over there in a nation that's close to the gospel where no one can preach the gospel, but yet God is doing amazing things there. So imagine if the church here was lit up and you could do even more here in this city. It's not a daunting task. We've simply come alongside students and young people, and we've loved on them, and we've talked with them, and we've just walked with them. We've never preached at them. We've never said, you need to. We've never said, we've never done that. We've just lived life alongside them, and they saw Jesus in what we were doing, in what other students were doing, and they just want to be a part of that. And imagine if that happened here. And imagine if that continued to happen throughout your life and your participation here at Christ Community Church. Because these are stories, I don't know about you, these are stories that get me so excited. Because these students are going to go on and they're going to lead the church. And they're going to lead it through many nations on earth. And we got you and me, we got to be an active part of that. These students and the refining fire that's going on in their lives through what Jesus is doing in and through them, that is a direct relation to what you're doing by praying and contributing and just having that in your focus and by you practicing that here in your church. And that's so great that we are on the same page that way. But how cool is it that one day, one of these students might come over to Plainfield and be like, because of you, look what happened. Now, I'm not saying that that's our responsibility, but we are just a small piece in that, and this is where I'll close. In order to refine gold or silver and then make it into something you like jewelry, you need something called an alloy. Pure gold and pure silver is soft. It's not strong enough to wear. So you need an alloy. You fuse it with another metal. And may I dare say, that's what we are. We are the alloy in this mix. They are being refined by Jesus. And I'm not saying that he's not doing this perfectly, but you need an alloy to make it strong, to make it secure, to make it a good foundation. And that's what we are as the church, as people who support one another, as walk alongside one another. And it's so cool to know that we partner like this when we lead people to Jesus, when we walk with people trying to understand who Jesus is, and when we see them come to faith, and when we see them go on and make a difference for the kingdom. It's so, so cool. So this is our plan for this year. Just so you know what we're doing. We've been so blessed. The Lord is doing so many great things. This year, we're having a meeting with someone called Sheikh Nayan bin Mubarak al-Nahyan. Okay, a lot of words. But the important part is that it says Sheikh in the front. He's a very important guy. He's the minister of youth culture to locals there. My boss happens to have a good relationship with him, just a handshake relationship. And so we're going to have the opportunity to present student leadership development to local Muslim Emirati students this year. That's so cool. And we get to become friends with these guys, and we get to say, hey, I'm a Christian. And they go, wow, I'm Muslim. And I go, tell me about that. And they go, tell me about what you do. And it's going to be a great time to share faith. I'm so excited. And I'm so excited. He's a sheikh. If five people die, he becomes the ruler. So, that's awesome. Right next to our church compound is the British school where many of the local families send their children, many privileged families send their children there. Future world leaders, including future rulers of that nation, attend that school. And we're going to have the opportunity to get this program into their schools as well this year. Because the new principal there, he believes in Jesus. And he came to our office and said, I want youth workers in our school. So cool. And so, like, I'm so excited. And this is right next door to where our church is. The older kids, I'm sorry, high schoolers, this is sad, but they get to leave for lunch. And guess where they would go, many of them? They come bother me in my office, which is good. But now we get to go there, and I'm excited about that. That's really cool. And the basic things of everything we do, our focus for my wife and I, we really don't see ourselves as creating this big ministry where young people come and they have a great time and then they go home. We can't do it. Just because of the culture, because of the nation, and because of our resources, we just can't. But we can make a difference in the lives of select few students in our church and in our community, and they can reach many more students than we've ever could reach on our own. And that's our goal. These young people who you saw, we've invested and trained in them so they can go and make a difference with their peer circles and their circles of influence. And that's what we want to continue to do, and that's our focus. And it's our love and our passion. And the amount of people we see to dialogue and to have friendships with unbelieving people, that's what our mission is. It's very simple. But I have to say thank you for that. These cool things that are going to happen are because of your prayers and support. I left Christ Community about 2 years ago to go and do this, to the sadness of many, including myself. I had no idea this was what God's plan was for my life, and that he would refine me through this process to the point where I would have a wife, to the point where I would be meeting sheikhs to have leadership development so I could influence Muslim students. God is faithful. And we read, he does, Malachi 3:6, for I do not change. And if he does not change, then his commands don't change either. And his commands in Matthew 28:19 say, take the gospel, take this message, go and teach everyone what I've taught you, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all nations, he says. That's the command. Plainfield is part of all nations. Abu Dhabi is part of all nations. So thank you for helping us carry out Jesus' commands to us. But also, thank you for rejoicing in us to see what God's doing overseas. Now, I don't know if you've been inspired by what you've heard. I am fully reliant on support from people. I have my friends Dan Cook and Ken Winkleman, the elders here, and some leadership here thought it would be great if you heard from some people who actually believe in what we do and support what we do, both prayerfully and financially as well. This is not a pitch. This is just some truth. And so I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity. And these gentlemen are going to come up here. And I think I have to stand here with you. Is that what I have to do?
Sure, Pete.
Okay.
I had the privilege of working with Pete when he was here for the 3 years. And as you could tell by what he said today, you can just see the passion for spreading the gospel to young people that he has. And when he decided to leave, our family, my wife, and my mother-in-law as well, we decided, we need to partner with Pete, because even though we may not be called to foreign missions, we still need to support those who are, so the gospel can be shared throughout the whole world. So we just felt that was something we needed to do, and because of that, we just feel so blessed when we see Pete come back, when we hear him, when we get his newsletter. It's something that you can actually, you have like a relationship with the person. You know, a lot of places you donate to, you don't see where the money goes or how it works. But when you do it to somebody you know, it's just a blessing that you get, knowing that the resources God has given you has helped Pete to reach the others in the world. So I'll give it to Dan now.
I just want to echo what Ken said, basically. And, you guys have experienced firsthand now, Pete. Some of you who haven't met him before, seen him, and just see the passion and how he's fully engaged in what he's doing. And that's something that is just such a blessing. Anybody that has had a job or so forth knows what it means to be fully engaged or not in what you're doing. Pete's fully engaged. And that's very evident. And so for myself, we support Pete on a monthly basis, and we do that for a couple of main reasons. Number one, we believe in the work that he's doing, and he's having an impact on people's lives for Christ in Abu Dhabi. It's hard to say.
It is.
But then the other thing, too, is that, like Ken just said, it helps me to be more engaged with what he's doing. And you can do that through prayer, and you can do that through giving. But it really helps to kind of be there with them. We're living vicariously through you, Pete, over in the Middle East. And the third main thing is he needs the support, just like he said, just like our church needs your support. Pete needs your support to continue this ministry over there. And so what I want to do is to challenge each and every one of you that are here today to go back and say hi to Pete after church. Pick up some information that he has. If the Lord is leading you to support him financially, that would be awesome, even if it's for a small amount every month. But to do something for Pete, just to meet him, get to know him a little bit better, and if nothing else, hold him up in prayer and be able to do that on a regular basis. So after the service, Pete will be back by the table there, and I encourage you to just say hello and to get to know him better and more about his ministry.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. So, and thank you. And just so you know, this is just red tape. This is the flyer. You fill it out. Noma has graciously said that she would mail it for you, so you don't even have to pay for the stamp. So it's really simple. My wife will be there. I'll be there. Even if you just want to receive our newsletter, which is free, so you can just pray for us every month, we'd be honored for that. And if you want to find out how you can give on a monthly basis, a few bucks, we'd be very honored to have you part of our team. And so I pray blessings on you as a church, and I pray that God does amazing things and that next year when we're able to come back and tell you more awesome stories, that there's 17 services and we can't contain the people because of all the things that you're doing to bring the gospel to Plainfield. So God bless you. Tristan's going to lead us as we go.